the Mystery is Over Summit, Understanding Female Sexuality, Healing Sexual Shame, and Finding Our Voice. This summit is brought to you by The Mystery is Over, Understanding Female Sexual Health, and World Integrated Systems in Health. So I'm your host, Dr. Sandy Bavacqua. I'm a PhD in molecular and cellular biology and a woman's health expert specializing in female pelvic and sexual health, also hormone balancing, and we do blood chemistry analysis and nutrition as well. And ladies, you're in the right place if you're interested in learning more about the concept of sacred sexual union and improving your relationship with your partner or your beloved or that significant other in your life. We have two really great interviews lined up for you today. With me here now is Anaya Sophia, and coming up next we have Caroline Muir. Our time is short today with each of our speakers, so before we run out of time with Anaya today, I'll let you know about some of the amazing resources that she's made available to you, including a free gift and a really amazing upgrade bonus to help those working on challenges with trust and with fear. Now, I'd like to introduce you to my special guest, Anaya Sophia. She's known for her role in birthing a new paradigm, relationships, and sacred sexuality. Her unyielding passion is to help people transition from codependent relationships into a thriving sexual union based on love, power, and wisdom. Her books include, and get this, she's quite prolific, Open Your Heart with Kundalini Yoga, Pilgrimage of Love, Womb Wisdom, Sacred Sexual Union, The Rose Knight, and her latest book is Divine Relationship, Birth of the New Paradigm. Anaya spends half of her time in Ojai, California, and her other half in southern France, where she runs a bed and breakfast called Amarosa. Welcome, Anaya.
Hi, Dr. Sandy. Thank you so much for inviting me to be part of the summit.
You're very welcome. I'm very, very happy to have you here. So,
thank you.
You're in such a unique line of work. Can you tell us of your journey, how you got to be where you are now?
Yes, I can remember that conception point, so to speak. I was asked to co-write Womb Wisdom with Padma Aeon Prakash, and I remember when he asked me, I was still a full-time Kundalini yoga teacher, and I was obviously thrilled and deeply grateful that he asked me to co-write such a profoundly interesting topic. But I remember saying to myself, I don't know too much about the womb. I can speak on behalf of, you know, yogic anatomy, my understanding of the subtle energetic system. But me, myself, as a woman, I didn't really have too much to say until 3 days later. So 3 days after agreeing to co-write with him, I had a telephone call from my local hospital saying my latest smear test, which is the pap smear, showed that I had severe cancerous cells of the cervix and that I should come in right away to have a biopsy and to begin treatment. Luckily, I was moving from England to France, and so that just wasn't possible. But I remember putting the phone down and saying to myself, I am about to be totally qualified to write this book. I knew that I had leapfrogged over my sexual self and jumped straight into my heart with the Kundalini yoga, and that I was trying to bypass one of the most powerful centers in a woman. And I knew it was only a matter of time before I would have to descend down into the second chakra, down into the sacral, and really do some very authentic healing. I just knew it, and there it was. The minute I said yes, I'll be the co-author, in comes the personal journey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing how that works?
I know.
It really is. And what a brave response as well.
Yes. Yes, and luckily I was able to go through that journey and come out the other end naturally healed. So no surgery, everything's intact, everything's still there.
Good job.
And I am a lot lighter, let's say. I discovered some tremendous emotions buried in those places. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much the angle that I approach this work with, through the lens of the associative emotions that can get stored there.
In your opinion, Anaya, where do people hold back in the issues of love?
I feel the feminine, and I don't mean the woman, I mean the feminine in both genders. She, let's just say she for now, but I'm also referring to the feminine in men. She will often back away when the sense of abandonment arises.
Mm-hmm.
So that is her guardian. Her guardian is, don't go there, because if I really open up, if I really give my heart and my sexuality and my deep, deep commitment, what if I'm abandoned? And so that guardian can often send the feminine nature within men and women back into withholding or withdrawing. Whereas the masculine guardian, which is also found in men and women,
uh-huh,
is the fear of being consumed. The fear of, my God, this love, this connection, this union is so great, I might not want to go out to work anymore. I might not want to conquer the world anymore. I might be distracted from my studies, from my empire, from my ambition. And so that is the trigger which will send the masculine parts of us into more of a detachment and aloofness. So basically, you know, the masculine and the feminine, there are two different ways of avoiding this big, deep, honest, rich, warm connection.
Wow. And I know that to be true. Your words are,
yeah,
so true.
I know both of those incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, abandonment. Abandonment is such a core piece for women.
Yeah.
And it's this is the place where it goes to for, and I think for all women, to be able to come to a place where you're really complete with that, and or mindful, completely mindful when it shows up, is like one of life's goals, perhaps.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've done is, instead of fearing the outer masculine abandoning me, my partner, I've prayed and worked with emotional feeling and visualization and intention. So I've developed this really intimate relationship with my internal masculine, so that if the feelings of abandonment should arise, it is him, my internal masculine, that comes to the rescue, if you like, or comes into presence with that feminine fear. So I then don't have to reach out and hold on to and fear and threat and project onto the external masculine. Do you see what I mean?
I absolutely do, and I'm loving the whole concept.
Right.
So you're finding that masculine to come in, because, you know, women, a very good friend of mine and confidant said one time that women repeatedly go to men for their comfort and to, you know, to get centered and to get connected, and yet some of the best connection that they may have in their lives may be with another female, another woman.
Yeah.
And that no one, who can love oneself better than oneself?
Yeah.
We can love ourselves best. So you're looking into the yang of each individual to come and save that that yin, the female that is being abandoned. And I
yes.
love it. It's beautiful.
Oh, wonderful.
That's great.
Yeah.
So what steps, I mean, this is going to take a very open heart to be able to do that. What steps
yes.
can someone take to help open their heart?
Well, what I do, you've got to remember, I'm coming from a yogic background. I'm coming from a body working background. So one of the simple things I do is, the feminine side of the body in male and female is generally, in the yogic philosophy, the left-hand side, the whole left-hand side and the right brain. So when I'm feeling abandoned, and I'm asking my inner male to come in and be present with me to just simply support me through this process, I will literally pick up the back of my left hand and bring it into the center of my body and hold the left arm up. So I've got my hands cupped in my lap, and all the strength is coming from my right hand, my masculine hand, and I'm literally supporting my left one. So I'm letting all the weight from the shoulders and the stress and the belly just be supported by my masculine self. And then I'll play a little bit of emotional music, which will get me crying, which then gets it through and beyond, you know, my mind, my heart, and then it's been flushed through.
Beautiful.
So
that's,
it's actually
really
a very palpable experience. It's very tangible. This isn't like a little, you know, silent meditation. I'm using the body to demonstrate the support that's there.
Mm-hmm. And by using your own body, you're touching in on the location of emotions too. You can actually go to where the emotions are if you're drawn
that's
there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Interesting. I love it. So I want you to, I'm going to take us in a slightly different direction here.
Okay.
I want you to explain to us what a codependent relationship might look like and how this differs from healthy partnership.
Okay, so codependency. Codependency, this is quite a general statement, very far-reaching, but I'm just going to say it anyway. Codependent relationships are probably what our parents lived and how we grew up as children, as babies. So a codependent relationship, there is a heck of a lot of manipulation, control, fear, and a sense of stuckness, a sense that both partners are not growing. They're almost holding each other in place and silently saying, don't change. Don't change. It frightens me. Let's stay the same. Look, we're comfortable here. Let's not rock the boat. And so there's this kind of like silent and invisible prison that holds the two in a very comfortable but non-growth situation.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the new paradigm, if you haven't yet noticed, you soon will, relationships now are thriving on completely the opposite environment.
Mm-hmm.
So they're thriving on growth. They're thriving on transformation. They're thriving on truth-telling. So codependency, you don't tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You tell as much of the truth as you need to. There's half-truths. You don't rock the boat. You don't say things in case you hurt the other one. That's codependent living. And the new paradigm is just bursting its way through all of those fences and gates and just opening up to a thriving relationship based on truth-telling, based on speaking openly and honestly, based on growing, evolving, interested in one another's growth, not fearing anymore. That's right. It's like, well, tell me, how are you growing? And then, of course, when you feel an emotion, instead of hiding it, that's codependency, you now reveal it. It's like, wow, when you said you're going to go to India and study yoga for 6 months, oh my God, I felt so afraid. I felt jealous. I felt worried, nervous. So there's now almost like an excitement to keep telling the honest truth of your experience.
And, you know, one of the things that I like about these more open relationships is that it not only brings in more trust and compassion into the relationship, but a real curiosity, a sustained curiosity about your partner.
That's right.
And it's quite beautiful and tangible.
I remember in the codependent relationships, which, of course, I have been totally enmeshed in, there was always a sense of dullness and boredom, and you could always predict your own behavior and the behavior of your partner. And, you know, the chemistry would just wean away, and then there really wasn't any more chemistry. There just wasn't any more sparkle. Everything had died, including my own self. So in the new paradigm, because, you know, the current of change is constantly in the air, there's also the attraction, like we enjoy in the honeymoon period. So you can extend that honeymoon period because the one you're with and yourself is constantly surprising you in these, like, delightful new ways. So that lovely sparkle of wanting to kiss and wanting to bathe together, wanting to sleep together, it's still there, like in the early days. But
yeah,
it takes
nice.
Two, Dr. Sandy, it takes two.
Yeah, two devoted individuals, because without that it doesn't fly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know that to be true.
Me too.
Oh. I'm curious, Anaya, what are the benefits of living life without a relationship? And then what are the benefits of calling in or choosing to be in relationship?
I do feel, after experiencing this for myself, eventually, having a moment, a long moment of solitude, of being, you know, the codependent world, you'd call it single, you know, you're a single person. I don't call it being single at all. I call it being whole. So when you are, you know, living by yourself or outside of relationship, I call that being whole, being wholesome. And again, working with your internal masculine and feminine energies and expressions, and getting that sacred union, that divine marriage, letting it be part of your daily prayer, your daily meditation. You know, every time you go in, that is what you're seeing, that is what you're feeling, this part of you coming into holy matrimony. And then, you know, when you can sincerely say, you know what, I can seamlessly move from masculine to feminine in accordance to what's being asked of me. I do not require or need anybody outside of me. That's the moment to call in the beloved or the holy tantric consort, whatever you want to call these exquisite dancing partners.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you'd be looking to only call in someone of the same caliber. That's the trick, you see. Hopefully, fingers crossed, that's what you're going to attract.
Mm-hmm.
But you may not. You may be tested on your own self-worth and self-value. So be mindful of who you're attracting, and obviously don't go for the first choice, just because it's the first one to show up.
Right, right. Everything's got to line up, and you have to be very specific with what you ask for.
Yes, yes.
specificity is important. So
you've
mentioned a couple of times this masculine-feminine separation. Tell me how you're envisioning that separation, and is there anything to do about it?
Well, what I feel, especially in the Western world, us women, and I am being gender specific here, us women are actually rather masculine. We are out there working, earning money, ambitious, career driven, multitasking, raising families, having two cars, having a big house, and there's a great weight on our shoulders to perform. We're on the computer, we're on our iPod, we're on our iPad. You know, we're out there burning up our creative, expressive energy. And so I often say, you know, ladies, we're actually men in women's bodies. And I'm not sure about the States, but us ladies in the UK and Europe, we all just tend to silently nod our heads in agreement because
Absolutely. We
feel it. We're flipping running on empty.
Mm-hmm.
Our reserves are being channeled into this kind of like machine of productivity. And we have forgotten for now about our feminine energy and expression, our womb, our sexuality, our dance, our body, our dressing up, our, you know, our homemaking, our baking, you know, raising children with plenty of presence, plenty of time, plenty of playfulness. So that is what I noticed in my own self when I started to look inward. Yes, I was a woman. I was in a woman's body. But flipping heck, I was behaving like a man. I was out there with the boys trying to compete.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a great sorrow, a great emptiness, because I realized my feminine, you know, I could just see her on the far, far, far horizon. And she was like a silhouette, a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, how do I reach that within myself?
So how do you reach that within yourself? How do you invite your feminine in?
Well, I actually started very simple with five rhythms, with dancing. I gave myself, and I had to do this, Dr. Sandy, I gave myself the permission to start a dance class. And that for 2 hours, I wouldn't think about work, I wouldn't think about money, and I wouldn't think about my next project. For 2 hours, I would come to my body via my breathing, and I would be led by the instructor into a bigger and more expressive dance.
I'm sitting here laughing because I do five rhythms as well. and I absolutely adore it. It is such an important part of who I am. And it does bring in my feminine. It does bring me back to my body. And it's meditation and movement. So it helps me to practice being mindful while I'm moving.
Yeah.
And there's so many pieces of it, but it's just beautiful and playful and it's play. It's the play part of my life.
Yes.
And I do like to be playful, but it's five rhythms is fabulous. So if you don't know about five rhythms, ladies, it's something to look into.
Yeah.
So you're really amazing, and I'm loving all the things that you're saying. So we're talking here about the healing of our femininity, and, you know, tell me, from your point of view, what steps can a woman take to heal the split from her sexuality and from her womb?
Well, the way I began is this process called the seven gates. So again, I began by looking at the sexual reproductive system through the lens of yogic subtle anatomy. So I was looking at it through the seven chakras, which are the seven energy centers in the body, ranging from the feet to the top of the head. So I condensed that viewpoint and mapped out seven points from the very beginnings of the opening of the vagina all the way to the deep, most fertile, most darkest, when I say dark, I mean rich, center point of the womb. And I crafted out 7 steps. So how a woman can move from the space just outside the opening of the vagina, so the labia, the lips, and the space beforehand, this is also very important, the energetic space before penetration, mm-hmm. all the way to the deepest, darkest, most mysterious elements of the womb, via such places as the G-spot, the clitoris, the cervix, and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And again, because of the journey that I had been on with the cancerous cells in the cervix, I felt that each of these 7 gates or 7 steps had particular emotions, frequencies of emotion connected to those body parts. So for me, the first gate in the woman is the labia, the lips of the yoni, the lips of the vagina, inner and outer. And for me, this was very much to do with trust. Trust and distrust. This is what came up when I started to really feel into these places on an emotional level. Mm-hmm. And the second gate, which is the G-spot, what came up for me there was an incredible bitterness, stroke, jealousy, envy. And the plus side, the grace, once that area had been healed, then came like a sexual innocence. So a juiciness, a wetness because of the association with the water. So going from a very dry and brittle and barren, sort of bitter, jealous woman, on restoration came this very innocent, you know, the water is flowing again and there's an innocence and a playfulness and sexuality becomes wholesome again. You see what I mean? Can you see and feel the two contrasts?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's really how I did it. My first step was emotional healing. Mm-hmm. And then the second step was physical healing. So actual touch now. Touch with another lady who is trained, who, you know, had a beautiful heart and was fully trained in the sexual anatomy and was able to do a deep tantric massage with the quality of the sacred heart. So when ladies are healing, I always say, leave the erotic, leave it out for a moment. We can come to erotic later. When we make those first healing steps, let us make sure the one we're with, whether it's our partner or a woman who's going to be helping you through the journey, let's just make sure that the holy presence of the heart is there. Because that's what does the healing. You know, especially if a lady has had a trespass or an abuse, make sure the one she's working with, when it comes to physical touch, make sure that that holy heart presence is there. And then, when the healing's been done, then the erotic can come in and you can raise your Shakti and you can go wherever you want to go. But that first step, I would say, let's make sure the heart is there.
Yeah, the heart has to enter into the space for healing. There's never healing without love.
I agree, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's coming from the, you know, my experience as a healthcare practitioner. Healing never happens. There can be, you can attend a physical healing, but conditions tend to come back. And when you take care of the emotional healing and bring love in, love is, in fact, a healing energy. And
yes.
And it's taken me, and you have to understand, I'm coming from a very classical background in science and my PhD and coming in from the other side, and I've found this to be true. I've found this to be true, that true healing doesn't happen without that. Beautiful work, and I can taste this this amazing healing journey that you went through, with really coming to each step. And you know what? It occurred to me, many women listening may not know actually where their exactly where their G spot is and where all of these different segments are in their body. And in the upcoming class that I'm going to be doing, The Mystery is Over, Understanding Female Sexuality, we will be looking, I have images and I have directions. We're going to be discovering, lady, all of our lady parts and all the erectile tissues and where they are and how they relate to each other. So if you are not sure where your G-spot is or how it works, or if you're not sure about where all the legs of the clitoris are, we're going to show you images and teach you about all of that. So no worries there. But I think of this healing process that you're going through really as a beautiful and next step for every woman to do. Not just waiting until you have some kind of condition to take care of, but for everyone to really come to full fruition in this human experience.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And especially for the ladies who have yet given birth.
Yes.
You know, this is twofold, really. You know, yes, we're opening up an abundant and deeply sincere sexual life and union with another. But can you imagine the quality of the birthing experience for both mother and child when this work's been done?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow is right. because that child is touching in on all those spots. And if there isn't healing, then all of those emotions can come rushing in. It's no wonder that there's such emotional turmoil in some women as they birth. But then others can find their way to an ecstatic birth. And I would love it if all births were ecstatic.
Yep. Yep. I was born with forceps, and that was far from ecstatic. But you know, you just go back, you know, you do your birthing trauma work. With awareness and love and trust, all these things can be diminished and wiped clean again.
So I'm curious, can you describe to us a little bit more about what you mean by sacred sexual union?
So sacred sexual union, three words to describe three particular qualities found in the three most major centers of the male and the female. So sacred, heart's presence, holy love, sacred sexual, obviously, sexual, the womb and the hara, the great red shakti fire of the erotic and the passion. And union is a union of consciousness, a union of truth-telling, a union of the mind. So it's heart, sexuality, and consciousness, mind, totally coming together in the sexual act. Usually, old paradigm, it was only the sexual parts that came together. Now, in the last, I would say, 10, 20 years, the generation I'm part of, we're now realizing it's safe and okay and encouraging to bring in that heart's presence. So to really start loving, really bringing down the barricades and opening that heart up. But now the final step would be the union of consciousness, the union of mind. So there's absolutely nothing in your mind that the other one is not aware of, and vice versa.
That's the most extreme form of telling the truth.
Yes.
Being raw.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
And so then when two beings with that openness in their mind, in their heart, in their sexuality, when they come together, in trust and love and consciousness. Holy moly.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new way of sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to hide. There's only one way to go, and that's more and deeper and richer and more unified.
In what ways does the practice of sacred union add value to each one of our lives?
I would say when you are in a two-person relationship, so when you have a partner, the holy purpose of sacred union is the amplification, the amplifying of both beings' creativity and potency out there in the world, and also in there in the internal world. Because creation came through the masculine and the feminine. I think we're off the understanding now. It's really coming into our consciousness now that God itself was and is both masculine and feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Just like what, us. Just like
what
us.
What a concept.
Just like us. So when we come back to the original template, which is a man and a woman, Adam and Eve, if you like, Isis and Osiris, Jesus and Mary, however you want to look at it, we are now in the original template. This is how things were designed.
Mm-hmm.
The full magnitude of our potential is now on a platter. But just because you're hanging out with a member of the opposite sex does not guarantee this reaping of this tremendous potential, because first you got to do that sacred union inside.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes, of course.
You can establish that internal masculine and feminine, then meet another who's done the same. Now you're ready to play ball. Now you're each holding a full deck.
Well, I know that there are a lot of women that are waking up and are willing to do their work now. And
yeah.
And it really doesn't take, I mean, once one is placing attention towards these things, it's not that the work is so terribly hard. There might be moments, but it's not that it's so hard, because it's something that you want and you're achieving. So there's great joy in making
yeah.
each step of the way.
Yes, yes.
So what steps could someone take to begin creating a sacred sexual union in their own relationship that they're in right now?
Well, what I often advise that ladies get together with their girlfriends and just literally start the conversation, the first contemplation, the first conversation could be something like, how could sexuality be healing? How can I change my way of approaching it as a way of communicating or being dutiful or doing the once a week, feelings of I just have to do this? How could I change my approach so that it is now a healing exchange? You know, and you and the girlfriends, you can just have this conversation.
Yes, and just ladies getting together and opening up and telling the truth with each other oftentimes is easier than opening
yes.
up to your most intimate partner. And again, you know, this is what my vision was with the Mystery is Over classes and meetings, because we do act as a community to bring everyone together and to start to open up to these things. So, you know, the class is a really, it's a perfect place for people to warm up for the kind of work that they are doing with you.
Yes.
It's really quite nice.
Okay. So,
you know, you're talking about the process of coming to deep intimacy.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about what are the physical methods that there are for creating intimacy, sexual intimacy.
Okay. Well, let's go right back to basics.
Okay.
What can stand upon our path as we take our first steps on this journey is the feeling of, I'm just going to name it as it is, body hatred. You know, you undress, it's just you in the bedroom, you undress, you stand in the mirror. What is it? Not what is it that you see? That's not the question. What is it that you feel? And just to tell the truth with that, with your own reflection in the mirror, what is it that you feel? And then to, when it feels right for you, to then move that conversation with your partner. So the pair of you undress, sit together opposite each other in the candlelight, and you just tell the truth about what you feel about your bodies. And you might be getting older and things are starting to head south or things are starting to expand or wither and retract. So we just start telling the truth about our bodies, and then we start telling one another and ourselves the truth about how we are currently perceiving sex. Because when we make these first steps, I think I'm going to be right in saying that you're having sex. You might not be having sexual union at this stage. The act, the sexual act, is still very rudimentary, very predictive, very maybe a bit boring. Mm-hmm. And so you just tell the truth about that. And you talk about your longing. You talk about how you'd love it to be more this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And we just have to tell the truth, you know. This body hatred thing is pretty widespread.
Uh-huh.
And then we have all sorts of thoughts and opinions and judgments about the sexual act in itself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You're going to have a sacred union if you think sex is dirty or shameful or it makes you feel guilty or you judge your own erotic nature or you're afraid of your partner's erotic nature. All of these things have to come out in beautiful conscious communication.
And it's really interesting because when, you know, in my experience, getting together with one's partner, sometimes it feels before you speak that these are the things, the last thing in the world that you would want to say, the thing that you would never, yeah, ever bring up. And
yeah,
yet once it's out, that whole that process is so, it's soft and it's beautiful and it's not as bad as you thought.
Right. And more love is felt.
And more love is felt, that's right.
Yeah, I know. It's incredible. You think you're about to, you know, knock down the house of cards. It's like, if I say this, it's over. But when you say it, it's usually the opposite. More love, more trust.
And this goes back to the whole concept of abandonment. Because if I say the wrong thing, I may be abandoned. And that's the one thing that a woman doesn't want is to have abandonment. So that, I think, is the block. But once you're able to hold that or observe that thought until it floats away and then be present and speak those words anyway, it's amazingly healing.
Yes.
Beautiful,
yes,
thing,
yes,
for the relationship. And you would think so, but it's quite transformational, actually, just,
yes,
that exercise. I know this to be true.
Yeah, same.
Beautiful. I'm so glad you're bringing this up because it's very, very important work. So, you know, is this something, you know, you were talking about couples. I'm sure there are also methods for singles. I mean, you talked a little bit about looking to the reflection, but what is there for singles? What is it for the ladies out there that are not in relationship?
Well, singles, that's when I would encourage men and women to team up with their, you know, their own gender. So ladies having a circle with their girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, it's still a little bit tricky for guys to actually get together and have a man's gathering and talk about this stuff. But it will come. I can assure you it will come. But ladies seem to be leading the way at the moment by opening up with these intimate discussions and conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're single, just, you know, get the girls round one sure. evening and start to tell the truth about the way you feel about your body, the way you feel about sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way it's been in the past, what you hope and long for the future. And then, you know, a little bit later down the line, you might say, you know, hey girls, why don't we go to the local creek? Why don't we go to the local hot spring? Why don't we get naked? You know, that's the next step. You've talked about your body. Now can you show the body? Or you might go to the spa and have massages and saunas together.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a simple step, disrobing, but by golly, it is quite a feat of achievement when it actually happens. And it brings such liberation, such ease into the body, which can only be healing. It is truly, it's like going back to childhood. That's how I experience it over and over and over again. When you get a load of ladies in from London and, you know, they've been working hard. And here in the south of France, I just take them down to the local hot spring. And it's like, no swimsuits. And at first, there's lots of protesting. And then, woohoo, they're in. And the radiance coming off their faces is, you cannot put it into words. And it shouldn't go into words. It's too beautiful. It can't be spoken. It just has to be seen and felt.
Well, you know, you're talking about getting into a state much like the playfulness that we were talking about with Five Rhythms. And, you know, really going back to yes, there's adults here, but we're going back into play. And,
yes.
You know, I'm so curious, can you tell us a little bit more about Amorosa?
So Amorosa, this is my home in the south of France, and in a very particular corner of France. This is the Languedoc. So this is the equivalent of Sedona or Glastonbury or Evreux or Mount Shasta. So this is France's most sacred corner. So there's an abundance of feminine energy here. And there's a lot of stories associated with Mary Magdalene and the divine feminine. And I can house 9 people at a time. So this is where I do the more intimate work, in my home, where I can lock the door, and those people feel my energy all over the house. So it's a tiny little stone cottage, but it's home. And what better place to open up inside someone's home? This is not some sort of sterile workshop space,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, or a place where you're not really sure what could happen. You're in my home, and that very deep, authentic sexual healing can be done whether you're single or with a partner. For me, this is the ideal place. This is what I would have been looking for. I couldn't have just turned up in some venue in some city. You know, I wanted to be at home with this person,
mm-hmm.
when I did my physical sexual healing work.
And you found home in the south of France.
Certainly did. Yeah, it's amazing here.
I love the south of France, and I know that a visit to Omarosa would be an amazing journey for anyone that gets to have it.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I particularly really enjoy the art form of food in the area that you're in. You know, the food is exquisite and fresh and delicious and well combined. So beautiful.
That's right. Yes.
The French are masters of that. So I want to get into a topic, Anaya, that is generally taboo, but if there's any person that I could do it with, it's you, and that is I want you to speak about masturbation, but I'd like you to talk to us about it from an energetic perspective.
Okay. So, again, I see it as steps and stages.
Okay.
So if there's been a trespass or a suppression or a closing down of sexuality, I suggest that the first step is a step towards opening and extending and activating your sexuality. So if you're in a state of impotency or frigidness, I would be encouraging bodily touch and openness and exploration and bringing in a sense of the erotic, bringing in a sense of passion. And then once the furnace is well and truly rebooted, and there's a lot of fire and a lot of power in there, then I might suggest a more mindful approach to masturbation, which means maybe you'd think twice about not releasing the orgasm or the ejaculation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. So it's more of an invitation rather than, you know, direct command. Maybe that orgasm or ejaculation could be channeled towards something more, something beyond just the external and subtle bodily release.
Mm-hmm. Did you use some of that energy for your healing?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And even if I'm not aware of a particular healing that is being required, in that case, I will just flush the sexual energy into more and more embodiment of my own soul, or more and more embodiment of my own essence.
Beautiful. That's perfect. I knew that you were using the energy in some way, and that's just a curiosity I had about that. But yes, masturbation is, perhaps we need other words, because
yes.
The word itself is loaded. I can't tell you how many women tell me that they're thankful that they were given permission to touch their bodies.
Right,
and
yes.
When we go through the course, even women who are not able to achieve orgasm, they oftentimes in our class find that they can because they're learning about other areas where they have erectile tissues. And so they learn about their A spot and their G spot and their, you know, so they're finding all of that. But once ladies, you've got practice, if you're not already practiced at this, you can create orgasm in many different ways. Women have at least 7 different types of orgasms, but you can gather that energy, as Anaya is talking about, and use it in other ways. And Anaya, you're very versed in how to use that energy, aren't you?
Well, I can sort of, I can see what's happening on the inside. Could it be my imagination? Maybe. I don't really judge what it is. But, you know, when I close my eyes, I can seem to see my subtle anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
And so with my intention and my will, I'm able to see the red Shakti energy in my womb and in my hips and my pelvis.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it feels like I'm going into an orgasm, I will just make it a little bit more spacious. So pull back slightly, make it more spacious instead of goal-orientated, and just allow that red Shakti energy to run.
Robin, what happened?
She just got disconnected, so we'll just have her. When she comes back, we'll let her
finish
her thought.
Hi.
I'm back.
We have never in our interviews had people drop off. It's really strange, but you were so hot into your description then. It was great, and it was like, wow. So to ask that question again of, so you're really versed in how to, you're very versed in how to use that orgasmic energy for healing.
Yes, I think it comes back to my yogic background again, and understanding the subtle anatomy. So if I'm self-pleasuring, I can see the red Shakti volcanic energy building and making itself known in my womb and yoni and hips and pelvis. And just before the moment of release, of orgasm, I make that area and that energy much more spacious. So I try not to take it into a goal-orientated attitude, but to pull back more and allow that energy to just rise like a vapor, like a perfume, up through the solar plexus, through my belly, through my heart, through my throat, through my face and brain, and then flower or fountain out into the soul, so that my real innocent essence of the soul can actually descend more down into my everyday activities and expressions and lifestyle. Whether that's my imagination, it could be. And it doesn't matter. It flipping works.
I'm so excited to hear you talk about this. I know that, for instance, I've had quite a number of women that have come through our class that have not been able to achieve orgasm or just have not chosen to be sexually active. And they go through long periods of time of not having sexual energy in their pelvis. And I, I do a lot of work with pelvic health for women and getting the organs back into good health. And when women go back in and wake those tissues back up again and they really get fired up, it does amazing healing. It has an amazing healing effect on the pelvic organs. So is it a surprise to me that it would be affecting the entire body as well? And the answer has to be no. But I'm so glad to have you here to talk about it and raise the topic of bringing that first chakra and maybe second chakra as well, energy, up through the body and introduce us to the concept that will heal the entire body.
Absolutely.
What effect have you seen? What have you noticed about that?
I have noticed for sure, without doubt, the radiance, the complexion on the face. Definitely, the face becomes stress-free. Even if you're a lady in her 80s and you're convinced that you have 101 wrinkles and blah, 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 you can palpably experience radiance, joy beaming through your face, and it can be seen and it will be commented on.
Mm-hmm.
There is a grace, there is an ease in the face, and just you look and you feel radiant. Mm-hmm. And I feel that radiance is a very important feminine part to contemplate and to reach for.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies have a particular light that streams through their body and their face.
Mm-hmm.
Radiance. We call it radiance. It's very important.
Recently, I was doing an interview with a gentleman, and he said that is what he looks for in a woman.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, the age, but when there's radiance coming through, he finds that's the piece that he finds so attractive.
Absolutely.
And And that's what you're talking about.
That is. Yeah.
So when women practice this, it makes sense to me that they will be not only more attractive to others, but more attractive to themselves.
That's right. And one another.
And
when I don't mean attractive like, oh, I'm attracted to that lady, but more like, wow, that lady is beautiful. Let me befriend her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me get to know this lady. There won't be that nasty little compare and contrast energy, because radiance isn't threatening. Everybody loves radiance, man, woman, and child, because it's kind of like kindness. It's like benevolence.
Mm-hmm.
So it heals. It heals that kind of like sisterhood wound as well.
And that is the perfect connection and answer to the question, how is it that if a woman cares for her sexual self and wakes up and uses this energy to heal herself, how will that affect community? And you just answered that question. It's a beautiful thing. And she becomes one and whole and gathers community around her.
Yes. Yes.
As it's always been.
Literally. She becomes like a fire. Everyone just gathers around her and gets warm.
So I would love to bring I'd like for you to be able to voice some of what you know about mindfulness, especially, you know, why is it so important to practice mindfulness while in relationship, whether with oneself or with a beloved?
Wow, gosh, mindfulness. If you can be mindful, or the word I use is vigilance. Vigilantly watching with compassion, not judgment, with compassion, all your little attempts to manipulate and control and hold on to and judge and just do your very best not to project them out, but to confess them. And I don't mean confess in that very heavy, dark, you know, religious way. Confess, reveal how, you know, oh, beloved, excuse me a moment. I was trying to manipulate you there for a second. Joyful, innocent, just reveal. Yeah, it's so important to be vigilant and just keep a very light and loose awareness over everything, all your words, your actions, and your deeds. And how do you develop vigilance? Well, I did it through meditation, by literally just sitting there cross-legged, hands in the lap, my focal point only breathing. The inhale coming in, the exhale going out. And just being vigilant of all the thoughts, the barrage of thoughts, and not trying to change anything. So not trying to make myself stop thinking, but just pulling back, becoming a little bit more spacious, and just looking at it all as if I was sat in some sort of auditorium and just watching the thoughts go past. And then you see, then you can develop that in everyday settings. So if you're out to dinner with your beloved, you can sit in your dining chair and just watch all of your, you know, flirtation, silliness, controlling, slightly condemning. You just watch it all go past and reveal.
Mm-hmm. Without attachment.
That's right.
So it just comes and goes, and you get to
watch. Yeah.
Being present. That's mindful.
And then you can have a good laugh at it, especially if you know, your partner is totally embracing the idea.
Mm-hmm.
We used to call it putting it on the bonfire. So we just say, oh, hang on a minute, I've got something to put on the bonfire. Just a moment ago, I thought that you were blah, 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 blah. And then you go, right, I'm putting it on the bonfire. There it goes. And you just kind of like take it from your mouth and you throw it.
I love that. I think the bonfire is coming to my house.
Right.
Good. Those are good words. So I know that you have the Seven Gates journey, and it's something that you have available now. And I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that. Tell everybody about Seven Gates, would you?
Okay, so the Seven Gates are connected to seven specific physical and energetic places in the reproductive system.
Mm-hmm.
From the labia, from the lips, to the center, the core of the womb. So from the vagina to the most mysterious, mystical aspect of the feminine sexual self.
Mm-hmm.
And this course unfolds over a 7-week period. So you're working with one gate, one spot, one place every week for 7 days. And we will be looking through the lens of the emotional connections to that area, the physical connections to that area, and the psychological connections to that area. So it's a very sort of robust and complete journey that you can take at a distance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great first step, but would need to be followed up from behind with that physical application as well. So everything that you've learned via the transmissions, the audio files, the PDF, as beautiful as it is to theorize and to take in that wonderful landscape, it totally needs to be backed up with physical, actual embodiment of everything I'm suggesting. So the Seven Gates is a rather simple and powerful place to start. At a distance, you know, online, through the online media, through that particular channel.
Mm. Thank goodness for the web.
Yeah.
And ladies, you're going to find links to the Seven Gates on our summit website, which is www.themysteryisover.com/upgrade. And so look for seven gates. And I understand, Anaya, normally this program is €225, but she's brought the price down to $144, which is very, very low price. And thank you very much for doing that for our population. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And Anaya, I'd like to take a few minutes to tell our listeners about the free gift you've offered everyone as well.
Yes, that is a soundscape, an album called Womb.
Mm-hmm.
So it's seven soundscapes, seven sonic pathways for a woman to listen to, I would say, when she's either lying down in bed in the dark or in meditation. So again, it's connected to the seven gates. So it's seven frequencies, if you like, to help go deeper with a feeling sense into those seven gates via sound, via music. It's not really music. It's more of a sonic soundscape.
Hmm.
And that's the free gift. A nice, deep inner journey all the way through the sacred sexual landscape.
So the womb is available to you. You can access the recording by visiting, again, the summit website. It's www.themysteryisover.com/speakers. And right there, you can pick up your downline code. Okay? So, Naya, this has been just an amazing time with you, and I wish we could talk forever and ever. You have a lot to offer, and I'm deeply and personally impressed with how much your journey has deepened your practice. So congratulations.
Thank you, Dr. Sandy. It feels really good here as well. It's like you're totally in the front room with me, and we're just chilling on the sofas, just talking about all this stuff.
Yeah, and it's so important that we do talk about this stuff, and we need to be able to bring it to the forefront, let women know what is possible and what they are capable of.
And I love hearing what you're doing, the way you've simplified and mapped all this out for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is wonderful. I'm going to completely use your material as a resource. I haven't yet to find anyone who's done this in this really simple and powerful, clear way.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I am, as you are, very, very passionate about bringing this to women and making sure that we have the education and the understanding to have a complete and full life and have that beautiful radiance that you were talking about before. If we all can have that and deserve to have that.
Mm.
So
wonderful.
I know, it's great. So ladies, coming up next at 5:30 today, we have another very special guest, Caroline Muir. I just love Caroline, and I know you will too. We're going to explore how to tap into your feminine Shakti energy, and we're going to learn about sacred spot massage and a whole lot more. So you won't want to miss this interview coming up. And if you do miss any of the interviews, they're available on replay for 48 hours. And beyond this, they're part of the upgrade package. And I have to tell you, we have a really amazing selection of bonuses that have been donated by our special guests. And today, I want to tell you about Anaya's special bonus called The Wounds of Love. Anaya, I have the description here, but would you like to tell us a little bit about The Wounds of Love?
Okay. So The Wounds of Love, this is an archetypal storytelling, which I feel is very important. I love the old myths. I feel myths are very comforting in this modern age that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the story of the breakup of three epochs of classic golden civilization, when the male and the female, the masculine and the feminine, were in perfect matrimony, perfect balance, until there was a shift, a distortion, and then a tremendous and brutal separation. And I feel that these archetypal stories are still with us. We can still feel them, and we are enacting them out in this 2015 modern age.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very atmospheric storytelling of the break or the separation of Lemuria, and the downfall and a tearing apart of Atlantis, and then the eventual disappearance of ancient Egypt.
Hmm.
So this is when the feminine went into distortion, ancient Egypt. Atlantis is when the masculine went into distortion, and Lemuria is just, it's the actual separation from a very beautiful androgynous light being that we were, and a descension and a drop down into the two physical flesh beings, one male and one female.
Hmm.
And to me, it's just healing in itself to hear the story, because it's so familiar. You're like, oh God, okay, that's where it's coming from. Now I am. This is not my story, but this is humanity's story.
Mm-hmm.
And again, very comforting. And it's beautiful. Beautiful material.
And I want to tell everyone, when you listen to The Wounds of Love, you're going to be hearing the spoken words whispered by Anaya Sophia as she's guiding you through the guardians and the archetypes of the collected collective of shared wounds we all have or have had. And those wounds are of distrust and fear between the genders. So
yeah,
it's just a very, very beautiful thing. I think you'll enjoy it. And thank you. I really appreciate your describing it, too, because it's truly, it's of you, and it's nice to hear you describing it in your own words.
Thank you.
So just a reminder, the early bird special ends on Friday night when the price goes up to $87. But right now you can pick up all of these amazing interviews, ladies, for just $67. And all of the bonuses our speakers have donated as well. So for complete details, please visit www.themysteryisover.com/upgrade. So, Anaya, do you have any final words of wisdom for our listeners? Anything that you would like?
Well, I can just let you know that I've just finished my last book, which is Divine Relationship, Birth of a New Paradigm, and that will be coming out next spring with Inner Traditions, and this is more of an oracle. It's a book that you hold in your hands when you're having a moment, you're having a crisis, and you just let it fall open. So that's coming, and that will be very useful, I'm sure, I hope, in both relationship and outside of relationship.
So what you're telling me is that you have an entire book of helpful wisdom that you're leaving our ladies with.
That's right. 72 pearls of wisdom in that book.
Oh, that sounds lovely. That's the kind of thing that I'll get for my office, and all the ladies here will be using it.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, listen, it's been absolutely a delight for me to spend some time with you today. Anaya Sophia, you're just an amazing lady, and you've done some wonderful work. And congratulations on your healing. I'm very happy for you, and I'm glad that you were able to bring that message to everyone as well. You're a delight. And I'm so glad that we had this opportunity to spend some time together.
Me too. Thank you so much, Dr. Sandy. And I wish all the ladies a wonderful summit. May you get a lot out of it, some deep, deep healing.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone. Until next time.